From the campus of Winston-Salem State University, welcome to WSSU Future Focus. Everything Winston-Salem State University. And now your host, WSSU Chancellor Elwood Robinson.
Tonight, we have three couples that have been married collectively for over 150 years. Let's find out what the secret is to a long and loving marriage. Our first couple, Dr. Wade and Ms. Betty Cornegay. Mrs. Betty H. Cornegay graduated from WSSU in 1958, and her husband, Dr. Wade M. Cornegay, is a dedicated friend of the university. The Cornegays were recently inducted into the WSSU Heritage Society after their establishment of the Betty Hunter Cornegay Endowed Scholarship Fund. The Cornegays said that they established this scholarship because they love WSSU and want to help others. Their gift will provide financial resources to deserving students so they can learn and grow academically without being concerned about finances. Betty H. Cornegay is now retired from Sudbury, Massachusetts school system after 23 years. And Dr. Wade Cornegay is now retired from Massachusetts Institute of Technology Lincoln Lab after 53 years. My second couple, Lieutenant Colonel Robert Lewis Week Sr. and Mrs. Wanda Scott Week. Lieutenant Colonel Robert Lewis Week Sr. is a native of Charlotte and was a member of the Rams football team. He started every game of his career except for the first two games of the 1974 season. After graduating from WSSU, Robert was commissioned as a second lieutenant in the U.S. Army. He retired from the Army September 30th, 1998 at the rank of lieutenant colonel. Robert continued his professional career as director of Veterans Services in Mecklenburg County, retiring from his second career at the age of 55. Wanda Scott Weeks is a native of Raleigh. Wanda graduated from WSSU in 1978 with a Bachelor of Arts degree in sociology. She worked in the human services field for more than 35 years, retiring in 2016. My last guest, Dr. William and Clara Harris. It all started 1956 when William Harris's cousin suggested he meet this cute girl from Spray, North Carolina. Harris was an elementary education major, adhered to his cousin's advice, introduced himself to Clara Estelle Hampton, a nursing major. The Harrises have been married for a very long time. some of their best memories include ringing in the 1960 together in Times Square while Clara completed her affiliation in obstetrics in New York City. Harrises have two children, many accomplishments. They also continue to give back to their alma mater. In 2010, they established the William U. and Estelle Harris Endowed Scholarship. In 2016, William Harris was elected chair of the WSSU's Board of Trustees. I am so excited about tonight's show. I have not been able to sleep. I know all three of these couples so well, and I told each of them that they had to behave themselves during this show. This is a post-Valentine's Day show. And I thought about wouldn't it be a great idea to bring couples together who've been together for a very long time and talk about the importance of marriage and the importance of love and share some memories about all the time they spent together. And so these couples are with me tonight. So I want to welcome you to the show. Weeks, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, mighty fine.
Good.
You're looking good. Thank you. Let me go on over here to the Cornegays. Miss Betty, how you doing?
I am doing wonderful.
Do you promise to behave yourself tonight?
No.
We're glad to have you. Thanks for being on the show. This is going to be a great show. And then last, we have the Harrises. Harrises. Y'all okay? You doing good?
You're doing great.
Doing fine.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you. You see who I have with me? Y'all see who I have with me tonight? This show was so important. I couldn't do it by myself. So I have invited Denise to co-host the show with me tonight.
Oh, great.
Yeah, right. Don't you think that's a great idea? You know why I decided to do this? Because we've been married a long time, too. We've been married a long time. So, all right, let's get this show started. I mean, Phil, got a question for each of you. Now, don't look at one another. I need for you to answer this independently. Independently, right? Okay. All right, let's go to the week first. We're gonna ask, let me see. How long have you guys been married? Oh, don't look, wait.
June 2nd, 1978.
42 years. Okay, let's go to the Harrises. All right. How long have you been married, Bill?
60 years, 8 months, and 12 days.
He robbed the cradle.
Wait. Yeah, here we go again. I had to clarify that. Her daddy gave me the cradle and said, don't bring it back.
No, he
didn't. So I get it. Did you marry a younger woman?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, all right.
So y'all need to go. You want me to go out and get a hag?
All right. Now did he get it right? How long you been married? How long have you been married, Estelle? Was he right? Did he get it right?
Well, Bill robbed the cradle. We've been married 60 years.
Okay, all right. We got it. Let's go to the Carnegies. How long have you guys been married?
You gonna tell it?
We'll let the talker talk.
We have been married 60 years, 5 months.
Wow.
September 9th. 1960.
Wow, that's a long time. So we have
it is.
Yes. Right. And she didn't exactly rob the cradle.
So now I have to answer the question too. So Denise and I have been married for 38 years.
Okay.
Oh,
38. I had to put up with him for 46 years.
Wow, see, now you didn't have to say all that, you know. So
I did. Wow. Yes, you did.
Yeah. No, this is great. I mean, this is a really great show because I wanted to, as I said at the beginning of the show, when we look at marriage across the country, the average marriage lasts 8 years. Eight years in the United States. And so here, all four of us, the couples tonight, and we've kind of beat the odds. We've been around for a very long time. Now, let's talk a little bit about how you guys met. Can you remember how you first met? Let's talk about that for a little bit. Let's begin with the Weeks.
Go ahead.
There you go.
Okay. Prior to Coach A's getting on campus in 1976, our football team was horrible. We were flunking out. We were losing games. We were breaking into the cafeteria and kicked out of school. So when Bill came in, he said, we need to find us a girlfriend that can type.
What?
And help us to stay, keep our cheeks in the seat. And I chose Wanda.
That's what the coach said?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay, all right. And so
It worked. It settled us down.
Okay. But you gotta tell me actually how that happened though. I mean, you can't just go out.
The real story.
Right?
As Paul Harvey said, the real story is in 1974, when I came to Winston-Salem State, you meet people from your hometown. So I met a young man that was on the football team named Anthony Oates, and his aunt was also a freshman named Anthonette Oates from Mount Olive, Goldsboro. Anthonette was from Goldsboro. Oates was from Raleigh. So he took me and all the girls was from Raleigh. We were now home girls. And so he decided that he would introduce me to Robert Weeks. So the original Atkins dorm, we had so many females that Bickett became, was it co-ed? Mm-hmm. Bickett became a dorm. So Antoinette was standing in Bickett and I had borrowed her typewriter. And so Oates and Weeks came to Atkins dorm and paged me and Antoinette. So Weeks walked behind me and Oates with the typewriter going up to Bickett. And Oates began to tell me what a great guy Weeks was. He was from Charlotte, but he was all right. He was good. I could go out with him. He was my big brother. So he was kind of giving me the okay to go out with Weeks. So we met our freshman year, but we didn't start really dating because we all hung out in groups back then. We went to school to get our education. You weren't supposed to be fooling around with these jarhead boys and stuff. That's the real story. So Anthony Oates is the reason that we're still together.
That's neat.
Remember that.
Yeah, that's really neat. That's really okay. All right. Wade, how did you guys meet?
Well, we started in high school. We knew each other. We went to the same high school. I was a couple of years ahead of her, and I went off to college and then went off to graduate school. In high school, you know, she was cute and all, but I didn't pay her any.
don't say that. Don't get us started.
I didn't pay her any attention. She was too young for me. So about my second year in graduate school, I was home for a few days on my way to New York to give a paper. And I got this call, invited over.
What
she don't believe this. I told it was from her mother.
Oh.
And I was invited to come over for dinner. So I go over, I get there, Betty's not home. She's down the street somewhere. So her mother calls and made her come home.
She didn't make me.
and that's where it started, went on from there. She probably got another account, but I tell her it's her mother's fault. Anytime somebody say, how long have you been together?
That much is right. But he didn't make me. I did not care for Wade in high school because he was too slow for me.
Oh.
Was she a cheerleader in high school?
Majorette.
Oh, okay, majorette.
I put the books ahead of her.
Denise, I started majoretting in the sixth grade and went straight through high school as well as college. Yes. But it was not, he didn't look at me because I wasn't quite as brilliant as some of the other girls. And he had so many other girlfriends. So I went about my own business, went to Winston-Salem and I just talked to some of the boys, right, Harris?
Any of them.
See, because Harris and I were in the same class, so I talked to some of the boys. But okay. When I returned home and took the teaching position, it was when I got serious of it, thinking of who was the man that I would find that I would like to spend the rest of my life with. And fortunate Wade came home, as he said, and took me out for a movie, had to walk because I didn't have a car. Not long walk too, folk. And so that started a relationship that I am very proud of.
That's great. And what year was that, Betty?
That we started dating in that little bit in 1959. And by the spring of 1960, via phone, because you see, I was in Mount Olive and he was in Berkeley, California.
Wow.
And so I was at home and I was on the phone and talking to him and answered his questions. And he proposed on the telephone. And my mother knew it because she was listening to my phone call.
My mother used to do that.
She didn't hear you shouting.
Because you see, the 3 hours different. If he called me at 8 o'clock, the phone rang at 11 o'clock. Right. So it woke my parents up because I was teaching, living at home. Folk, I didn't live any place else ever until I got married. I lived at home all the time. And my mother said to me, "You gonna get engaged." And I said, "How do you know?" She said, "I heard you." And that was about January, February 1960. He came home for Easter of 1960. And on Easter Saturday, we got engaged.
Yeah. I mean, that's great. And you know, we have Wade here and certainly one of the premier, you know, scientists in this country. I call him a legend. He's done so many great things at MIT. So you're away and you proposed. You didn't have to ask for her hand in marriage in 1959,
1960. Get rid of me. I think my daddy was glad to get rid of me. Wouldn't you?
Oh, but I didn't know.
Hi, Harris.
Hey, I didn't know like her daddy did, but she was a great talker.
Right. So you didn't know that at the time, right?
No.
That's great. The Harrises, I began the show with a little description of how you guys met. We did a story about you guys a few years ago, and I took that from that story about how you met. But let's hear the real story in terms of how you met, Bill.
No, that was pretty accurate. I had a cousin who was a nursing student. She was there for a summer indoctrination, and she came back and said, "You know, you need to meet this little cute girl from Spray." And I had no idea where in the heck Spray was. But I did, when I went to campus, I did seek her out. And we started to talk. She tried to date this other little guy on campus. And I said, "He won't stand a chance. He's from the country. I'm from the city." So,
D.C.
So I thought, after, dating her for a little while, I thought that I would do an honorable thing and take her out of the country, you know, and help her see what the city lights were all about. So I introduced her to Charlotte, and it was all over.
Once you saw the big city, it was over, right, Bill? Estelle?
That's right.
Is that, Estelle, is that what happened? He took you out of the country?
To get me out of the country?
Yeah, he took you out of the country. Is that
he
what
took
happened?
Me out of the country. But when my mother met him, she thought he was, the greatest person that I could have met.
That's right.
He's from Charlotte. He's rich.
That was not
and that case. Was the end of it. She fell in love with him from day one.
Daddy.
Yeah. And my daddy was, he was okay, but.
He gave me the cradle.
those are just such good stories. I mean, in terms of how you met, and it's important. For Denise and I, we actually met, I met Denise in the ninth grade. And when I saw her, I mean, she was gorgeous. She was beautiful. And, we became friends after that, shortly after that. We didn't date. We were actually friends in high school for a long time because she dated some other people. And she always had a little boyfriend, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were great friends, and she would always be with me. And I said, "You need to be with your boyfriend."
It was just two guys. It was either one or the other. You know, we'd break up and I'd go up with the other one. But then Elwood was always there. So yeah, we had almost our classes together.
Yeah.
Oh. Did you at the end, did you just flip the coin, Denise?
No, they were out.
Yeah. No, I mean, those are always good stories. So, I mean, being married for that long is very important. And talk about how you see each other as a couple. And one of the things that I say, people want to know, you know, what is the secret, you know, to a long marriage, long, happy, prosperous marriage? One of the things I can say about all, you know, six of you and certainly three couples is that you've defined yourself and you've defined your role and you've had careers. All you know, six of you have had careers and you've done amazing work. And talk about how the relationship has enabled you to accomplish what you have accomplished in your life. Who wants to try that one? I want to start with you, Betty, because I've had a conversation with you, and I know I've heard you talk about Wade, and I've heard you talk about your relationship and how you support one another, and it's been it's been really admirable, and I've enjoyed having those conversations. So talk about what Wade means to you, and how he has been a part of your life.
And I'll be listening.
you know, I grew up, let me take you back just a little bit. I grew up as a very poor girl in Mount Olive, North Carolina, a country farmer girl. And that was the mindset that I had. When Wade and I started dating, we dated through letters. We did not live, I was in Mount Olive and Wade was in Berkeley, California. So we did it that way. So I had to learn to love somebody from a distance. And that was not that hard because I immediately fell in love with Wade and stayed where I was. And when he decided that it was time to take me out of Mount Olive, that gave me an opportunity to go somewhere out of Mount Olive to Berkeley, California to live and learn to live as a married couple, which wasn't easy because he was still up on the campus in the labs with all of that science stuff. But he helped me understand what I could do being at home. Then when I went to Massachusetts, it was very easy because we had one child and then I started graduate school. And thank God, I still didn't have any money. Yeah. But he sent me to graduate school. He paid for it. And he's been my backbone. Now, sometime I could put him outside. And sometimes this pandemic has got us a little close and itchy at each other.
No, I think that's important. But what I noticed about the three couples is that you guys have supported one another and you supported each other in your careers. That's tell me how important that is to you, Betty, to you, Wade, in terms of you and your work.
Well, I tell anybody, for 16 long years, I raised my children pretty much alone because Wade was with the MIT, he was with the government, and he traveled all the time. So I was stuck home raising the children. And I think it made me a strong woman because I had to be the mother and the father and sometimes the playmate.
But you got through there and then you started, then you had your own career, right?
That's right. I didn't really start. I taught, I didn't go to teaching until after those 16 years. Mm-hmm. See, most people started from Winston-Salem as soon as they graduated. I did 3 years and then I stayed home until 1979. And I went back into the classroom in 1979. For a couple of years and then went administrative for the rest of my time.
Yeah.
I'm glad what I did.
Yeah. Gotcha. And the weeks, talk about in terms of each other, how you support one another and in terms of careers, both of you, work, had careers, Bob in service, military, so forth. And talk about supporting one another through this process because if you're married and we just listen to the Cornegas being married for 60 years, there are good periods, there are bad periods, there are great periods. And so it's just life. But talk about supporting one another through that 42 years, weeks.
Yeah, for us, I mean, it hasn't all been easy. I think one of the things that kept us together is that we're totally opposite. She's a country girl from Wake County. I'm from the metropolis of Charlotte. But I think when we got married. But when we got, before we got married, we became friends. We dated for 2 years on campus.
Oh.
And the day after I graduated, we graduated on Mother's Day of 1978. That Monday, I went a plane to Fort Sill, Oklahoma. And 2 weeks later, Wanda joined me out there and we got married. We didn't have a big church wedding. It was a small chapel. I left class at, I was in class at the time. I left class at 5 o'clock, went home and changed, jumped into my civilian clothes. We got to the chaplain's office. I had two witnesses there, a best man and a witness. And it took all of 10 minutes for us to get married in the chapel. And he prayed for us about 10 times. and we still got married in right at about 10 minutes. But for me, starting out in the military, I was in Army Field Artillery, which is one of the hardest branches in the Army. And Wanda was there for me, 100%. And she supported me so well that at the end of the year, we would get an efficiency report, an officer efficiency report. And it was revolting to have a spouse name in that report. But Wanda made it in my report. And my boss said that we were the consummate Army couple. And traditionally in the Army, the Army wife is supposed to be there to support the soldier and all the soldiers in the unit. And Wanda stepped up to the plate and did an absolutely fantastic job. At a time when that custom was changing. Today, military-wise, Army-wise, they have their own careers.
That's right.
Wanda postponed her career, and if it wasn't for her, I would not have made Lieutenant Colonel, I'm sure. So she supported me to the point that I was successful.
Oh, that's great. That's beautiful, Wanda. We should tell you guys that we actually graduated on the same day, on Mother's Day in 1978, as you guys.
Oh, okay.
That's really interesting. Yeah. Back to the Harrises in terms of that. Talk about supporting one another in various careers. You celebrate New Year's and Times Square, Bill and. And Estelle is up there, and she's doing some work. She's doing her clinicals.
I
was still in school, and he followed me everywhere. I had to do affiliations several places. New York was one, Pennsylvania.
No, Crownville.
Crownville, Maryland. Mm-hmm. And
George. I knew she went to New York.
I didn't go to Crownville, Maryland.
He went everywhere except Crownville, Maryland, because he didn't want to go to, that was a psychiatric center.
He didn't want to go there.
Yeah. But Harris, Bit went back and his cousin went back and told him about me, he was determined to come up and check me out. So he did.
Yeah.
And after that, he followed me everywhere I went, except one place. Mm-hmm. And once my mother met him, she looked at him and she said, you're going to marry him. I said, what? She said, you're going to marry him. He's from Charlotte. He's rich. Everybody from Charlotte was rich, because he was from Charlotte.
She was right.
But she fell in love with him from day one, and he could not do anything wrong because my mother was there to
defend him.
Defend him.
Right. Yeah. Bill,
well, you know, I think the one of the, she talks about a mother and a father.
Yeah.
But I think one of the keys to our marriage has been the fact that it is rooted in family.
Yeah.
You know, we don't talk about, I didn't call her mother, mother-in-law. She was just mother. My mother was the same way about her.
Yeah.
In fact, my mother was the one who did the planning of our little wedding. Like the weeks, we didn't have anything elaborate, but it was my mother who got her gown and took care of the reception, did it all.
Yeah.
But we, again, our relationship has been rooted in family.
Uh-huh.
To this day, my sister calls her every day just to check to make sure she's okay. And I keep up with all of the nieces and the nephews. In fact, one called a few minutes ago, we couldn't take the call because of, you know, this event. But I think that is key. Stell did not work while our children were in elementary school. She devoted all of her time and attention to the children. And I think it has paid off handsomely. And I really appreciate her for that.
Mm.
That's really great. I mean, you were talking about, and I want to spend just a couple minutes with this whole notion of family. You know, when Denise and I, when I met Denise, you know, one of the things that attracted me to her so much was, you know, I was going to get this ready-made family. She had the most amazing grandmother. And I had not had a chance to spend time with my own grandmothers because they had passed when I was younger. But having the opportunity to be, you know, with her grandmother was tremendous, and it meant a lot to me. And it tells you a lot about the person in terms of how they interact with their family. I want to spend just a moment with the family piece because I know something a little bit about each of you, and I know all three of you are family oriented. I mean, you believe that not only family, your immediate family, but you've extended your love into other people. I can tell stories about each one of you, how you've taken in other children, and you have fathered and mothered other children. I get calls sometimes about the weeks in terms of how Bob and Wanda will just invite, you know, students into their home and have them stay at their home. I know what the Harrises do. I know what you got. I meet your nieces. One of your nieces, something I met recently was talking about you guys. Talk a little bit about the importance of not only your immediate family, but then extending that to others in the world per se. And I think that's a lot about how you live your lives. Can you guys talk a little bit about that? Can you talk a little bit about that? I've heard how you take people in and how can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I like Mr. Harris, I think it's extremely important to have good family ties. And going back, Wanda practically raised our children when they were young. And she had the girls in Girl Scouts, and she made sure that Junior got to football practice and after school activities. But I think it's important to expand your family circle. As you mentioned, Chancellor, we've adopted some students from Detroit, from Atlanta, from all over. And it means a lot to us. You know, Wanda, go ahead.
Can I say something? I think that also became because it was St. Spade back in the 70s. We were all from little towns or big families, country families and stuff. And I went to a place called Red Springs, North Carolina, Rex, North Carolina. I had never been to Chadburn, North Carolina. And so we still are in contact with our Ram friends from our days at Winston State. And from that connection, if somebody had someone coming to Winston State, they would tell us about them coming. Of course, we would stand our house, wherever space. And our children always had tag-alongs. One of the traditions in the Army is when you change command, that they would have sitting for the spouse and the children. And we were in Germany at the time, and when I got to the event, they had six chairs, and we only have, I've only birthed three children. And I asked the young man, I said, why do you have six chairs for Weeks' children? I said, we only have three. He said, well, Miss Weeks, I asked on the base how many children you all have, and then nobody never saw y'all with less than six children. he didn't want to be wrong, so he had six chairs.
Oh, that's great.
That's good.
My birthday is April 23rd, and every year my mom would invite the football team, practically the whole football team down to Charlotte for my birthday parties. And today I'm still close to most of those guys who used to come down and you know, spend the weekend with them. So goes way back.
Yeah. So much of the family atmosphere. Bill, you know, you chair the board of trustees. I've been on campus with you, and I've heard people shout out, Grandpa, Grandpa. And I said, well, I didn't know he had, you know, folks and not really, you're not really their grandpa, but that's how they see you. Talk about you, your relationship, your extended family.
Yeah, I like the Weeks. We try to be supportive of students because we know what it's like going through the system. So yes, you might have heard about Mona Zaire.
Yep.
Mona, I'm in touch with her all the time, even about her latest tribute that's paid to her. And she calls me grandpa and still grandma. Her brother calls both of us grandparents. But it's important to them because their biological grandparents are from Africa.
Right.
And I don't think, I don't know that they have actually seen them. So as they have said to us, it's very important to them to have someone that they can relate to. So, you know, we feel honored about that. But it's not just Mona and her brother, but it's other students who have gone through Winston. And beyond that, you know, I do want to go back to our biological relatives. Betty and Wade would know this. I have an uncle who is 95 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of look out for him. In fact, we don't kind of look out for him.
He depends
on us for many, many things. So, you know, but that was instilled in us growing up. I can remember till this day, the last time I talked with my mother, I was in Penn Central Station in New York. I called her to see how she was doing because I don't care where we were, if I'm in Puerto Rico or South Dakota, God forbid, or on the West Coast, I was gonna call home to check on my parents every day. And that tradition has continued.
Yep.
We still talk with all of our sisters except one
every day.
I talk with my sister and brothers. Not my brothers every day, but we are in very constant contact. But it's a family orientation that is so very important.
Yeah.
Mm.
I think family is so important. As I mentioned earlier, it became sort of a central focus for me. I didn't grow up with a large family. I was an only child. And so being an only child, it was just, you know, my parents and me. But then meeting Denise gave me an opportunity to expand that and for that to grow. And I think that's important. There are a number of things that people talk about that will go into making a strong relationship in marriage. And I want to spend the next few minutes talking about your faith. I mean, and so tell me how that plays in your relationship, your faith. Who wants to talk about it? I want to talk with Miss Betty because I see her preaching all the time, and I saw her preaching recently. So I know she has.
You don't want to get us started. Huh?
No, I don't want to get you started preaching. But talk about.
I'm not going to preach, but I do have a strong faith. Yeah. I was brought up a Baptist, and I joined the church at 11 years old, and I taught Sunday school at 11 years old. So I was brought up in a believing and knowing that God is good. Mm-hmm. And I came away from that, bringing with me in my heart the knowledge that I know God is good. And yes, I do love, you know, I like to talk. And I, with the gift to talk and having been out on the journey of talking, I can talk about anything. And talking with being, as he said, preaching, Elwood, I preach for 5 minutes every Sunday this month. I do what I call giving to a white church, Black history, because they don't get it. And that's my preaching sermon every Sunday since February. And this Sunday, I'm going to preach on Lena Horne, and I'm going to preach on Eleanor Norton Holmes.
Okay.
And I got one more, and I haven't decided.
Well, I want you to keep on preaching. Talk just a little bit, Wade, about the importance of faith. We talk about being in a marriage for 60 years. There's certainly good, as I mentioned, highs and lows and good times, but something has to tie and keep all that together. Sometimes people talk about faith.
Well, my faith goes way back, and it starts with my parents. My mother died when I was 6. There were 8 of us in the house. My grandmother and my unmarried aunt took us in, took us from the country and took us to the city. That's the city of Mount Olive. There was streets.
I know Mount Olive.
When there were streets and streets, like, but we were on the hill, Hickory, that hill in Mount Olive. Dad went off, and I don't recall having a conversation with him until he passed when I was senior in high school. So it wasn't just family. My grandmother, I loved to death, and she loved me, and she thought there was. I could do anything. So she helped me to believe in myself. Mm-hmm. She decided our rent was $5 a week. No, it was $2 a week. Mm-hmm. And the man across the street was going to raise it $5. She says, I'm not paying Thad no $5 a week. Come, Wade, go with me. And we went down to the hardware store, and she negotiated with the man to get materials to buy a house. She found a lot. And she had me because I knew arithmetic and math. And he figured it out. It was going to cost her $35 a month for the material. Like the material was like $6,000 or $7,000. She'd be paying for 5 or 6 years. And I figured it out, you know, how much we'd be paying. And then she went and found 2 men to build a house. And she paid one of them $1 an hour. The other one, she paid $1.25 an hour.
Wow.
And my brother and I, we had to miss school some to haul material around to help them get the stuff on the roof, specifically move blocks, cinder blocks and bricks around. So those things emboldened me. So that's the family aspect. The other part is community. Now, there were people, I sold newspapers and anything else I could get my hand on to sell, you know, plaques to hang on the wall, stuff to put on your door, and people would buy stuff from me. I show up, and there's one man, Mr. Jerry, he says, what you got today? And anything I had, he would buy for me, no matter what it was. And so I got support from community. You know, people believe in you, okay? So you embolden in terms of believing in yourself. That doesn't mean you got to feel uppity or anything. You just feel. And then the third thing, family, I've mentioned, community, and there was school, same aspect of school. People thought you could do something. I showed in. I won't dwell on, but in elementary school, there were 2 things that happened, you know, that I showed up one morning in the 8th grade, and Mrs. Washington said, go down, Mrs. Durham want to see you. She had been my sixth grade teacher. Well, we did plays every Friday, each class did. Her class were doing a play. The lead male didn't show up that day at school. So she said, you're going to be in my play today. I said, what? She said, you're going to be in my play today. She said, here's the book. Take it and study. Now, here it is, 9 o'clock in the morning. And she says, we'll take some pieces and put in magazines, and you can ad lib. You can pick up the magazine like you read it and read the piece and use it. And that's what I did. We got through it. The same teacher, she decided to put, what's that thing do when you sing? Operetta. She's going to put an operetta on. And I was going to have Sunny or Sunny Side as the operetta. Yeah. And she says, you're going to be in the operetta. I knew operetta. I said, Mr. Durham, I can't sing. You know what she told me? Then you'll chant it. So they did it for the school. They did it for the parents in the evening. And I chanted it. So I take that attitude with me everywhere, in work, with family, and everything. You know, and I'll say a little prayer. I can remember when I was going in to take the orals for my PhD. I stood at the door and I said to myself, I said to God, Lord, help them to be fair. I didn't ask them to help me to pass. Help them to be fair. Right. And it worked.
Yeah. And I think all of these, you know, faith, community, family, I think they make for a great relationship. It helps you through so many times. And I think Denise and I, you know, that's the way we have been, the way we lived our lives, you know, being a part of that. We learned that from our family. We learned that growing up in small towns. And I tell people all the time, many of you have alluded to, you know, small towns, except for Bob and Bill, who came from these big cities. But other than that, you know, we understand that, you know, great things come out of these places. We're almost out of time, but I do want to give you a chance to tell young people out there, you know, what it takes to have a long marriage, and just give us one or two lessons that you have learned during the time that you have been together that you would like to impart to the young folks today. Say if I have you to come on campus and you are in K.R. Williams and you're talking to all of these young people there, give them some advice, give them your best advice about how to have a long and prosperous marriage. Who wants to start?
Be willing to say that I'm not perfect. I made a mistake. Will you forgive me? I think that too often we become so entrenched in our ways, and we think that our way is the only way, but that's just not the case. So we have to help others understand that, you know, we're all human, and with human humanity goes some frailties. So be willing to just sort of look yourself in the mirror and say, I was wrong, and look your spouse in the face and say, you know, I was wrong, forgive me.
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. The Cornigans, give some advice about marriage.
Well, I've done this several times at bridal showers, and I use one word, space. Give each one space. And as I said earlier, that there were years that I raised the children alone, and that was my space, because Wade had to provide for us, but he was away. And I didn't say, okay, I'm divorcing you. I'm not going to stay here and raise you children and you running around. He wasn't. He was out working. So I say to everybody, space is something that we need to put in the marriage very early. Now, he doesn't have to leave me now.
Wanda, what you got for the young people, Wanda?
I would say keep your marriage between the two of you. Mm-hmm. I heard a sermon when I was in Germany about from a chaplain about when you row in a boat, you got to be rowing in the same direction. One can't be rowing the boat the other way and you trying to get somewhere. I think, and I thank God the keeping the faith in the marriage, but the main thing, be faithful to each other and go in the same direction.
Yeah.
I would say be able to compromise, be able to respect your spouse, and be understanding and patient.
Some patience, yes.
All right. I like that. So I'm going to get us out of here with you telling each other the thing that you like the most about them. I just said what I like I'll tell Denise like what I like the most about Denise is her smile and her laughter and her amazing spirit. I mean, she has an incredible spirit that permeates every single thing that she does. Wasn't that nice?
That was nice. Okay, let the men tell us.
Okay. Like, yeah. Now you do. She's not ready for this. Look.
No. Because you said she thinks about me.
See, she can't stop laughing.
Wait a minute. Yes, when I start laughing, I can't stop. So I got the focus.
Okay.
It's funny.
He's making a face at her.
Yes, but Elwood is such a sweet person. And he used to be really romantic. He can be really romantic. Look, he wrote a poem for me, and I kept that poem. I forgot I should have. What is it? Anyway, I should have laminated because I had lamination paper. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I kept it until it fell apart. You know what I mean? It was so old. I kept it.
You know I'm a sweet guy. What about cool? Tell me about cool.
Yes, and my mother's storage house burnt down. I have loved teddy bears. I had this old teddy bear from when I was like maybe 3. And I was upset because my teddy bear got burned up. Elwood won a teddy bear at White Lake for me. So I take it. We were friends in high school. But I take it to college. So every night my teddy bear had to be on my bed. It was just so sweet. And people used to steal my teddy bear. And so I'd have to go looking for my teddy bear.
Let's go with the Harrises. Bill, what do you like most about Estelle?
I like the fact that Estelle is exactly who she is. She doesn't pretend to be, any... one that other than still she isn't carried away with things. She likes just being who she is, and I really like that about her. In fact, there are times when I say to her, we need to go out and get this outfit or that. No, I don't need that. I'm satisfied with what I have and who I am.
Great. Fantastic. Estelle, what do you like most about Bill?
I like about Bill, he is patient, mm-hmm. understanding, yep, and great. He's a very thoughtful person. Mm. He managed to do quite a few things that, I would not be able to do without him. Oh. And he's such a loving person. I just hope, as my mother would say, that he will be with me forever.
Beautiful.
In heaven.
Hey, look. Wanda, I know you hate to follow that rule, but I got it. What do you like the most about Bob?
Well, excellent provider. I've never... My needs have always been met, me and my children. Those times when the hours were long, I didn't have to worry about the lights being turned on, or I've always had a good place to stay and something to drive and just doing things. I like his excellent father and grandfather, and I like him.
Yeah.
I like him a lot. I think I keep him.
Bob, what do you like most about Wanda?
Well, obviously her beautiful smile, like you, Chancellor. But Wanda has a lot of patience, and she, when she gets around kids, she has a way of getting them to settle down and doing exactly what she said to do. Mm-hmm. My grandkids, they'll listen to her before they listen to me. But she's very creative. And I think that's what helped, that allowed her to be so resourceful to help me move with my career, was because she was so creative in helping the other soldiers and their wives when, were spouses when we were away. So I just appreciate her for supporting me.
Thank you for that. And Wade, what do you like the most about Miss Betty?
Well, her very caring attitude to me, her ability to, her constant outreach to others, those are the main factors that I like most about her. It emulates. You didn't know that, did you?
I love that. Miss Betty, you get a chance. You're going to close us out. You're going to close out the show tonight. What do you like most about Wade?
I like his giving, his honesty, his thoughtfulness, his caring for his two grandchildren, his caring for our family, three children. And right now I'm watching him as he cares for a dying 91-year-old brother. And yet he still has the time for me and to remind me, as he did on Valentine's Day, that he paid $6 for me.
That's bad advice. You paid $6. I didn't pay but $5.
You got a discount.
I'm telling you.
Oh, I look. You got a discount. I can't tell you. Thank you for joining us on Future Focus Now. I don't think we've ever had a Future Focus Now show like this.
Oh, really?
but it was really a great show. Thank you for being with us. You were great. Great conversation. Great interview. Denise, you want to say goodbye?
I want to tell them why you married me.
All right.
No, that's great. It's my family. He said that he married me because of my grandmother and because I had a stapler.
Yeah. She had
a stapler.
Oh.
She had a lot of stuff. See, I wasn't, her mother was a school teacher. I didn't know school teachers and stuff like that. I mean, I came from poor poverty. We didn't have anything. She had
We're
stuff.
Poor.
She had stuff I never went to. They had construction paper. I said, I thought you only got that at school. I mean, that was like, anyway.
Yeah, oh my.
We're going on. Thank you so much for joining us. Thanks everybody for tuning in tonight. Join us next week for another edition of Future Focus Now.
Bye.